If you don't talk to me, you have not given me opportunity to improve. Next time I might do the same thing. But if you talk to me, both of us will grow and move. Relationship moves to another level. So the thing will resolve it. Discontent grows and things get more complex. Now let me show you 9 stages in escalation of conflict. So you see how it begins. A little spark of fire, how it becomes a fire that burns the whole house. Like Nigerian Civil War. Rwanda genocide. The Hutus and... Look at conflict escalator. Let me show you how it works. First, somebody notices a difference or an offense. You first notice, they did this to me. They said this to me. Or you heard, they did this. Or they promoted this, but they left me. You just notice something. Then you start brooding on it. You focus on it. You can't get it out of your mind. You keep brooding on it. Third stage, you see that difference as a threat. If you leave this guy, I will not become what I'm supposed to be. Or if you leave this guy, I will not. You know why Cain killed Abel? This is the difference he noticed. God accepted this guy's sacrifice, left my own. This fire fell from heaven, consuming his sacrifice. Nothing happened to my altar. Second, he spends a couple of days brooding on it. Third, this is the interpretation he gives it. This guy is a threat. You find it between churches. What do we reap? It cripples the unity that we should have to be able to accomplish the plan and purpose of God. You see it among in-laws. He is from the north. I'm from the east. He's from Yoruba land where I'm Igbo person. I've married our daughter. What every little thing, they will be poking. Do you know that difference is a strength? Do you know that a child that is born that is a Yoruba and Igbo together, the guy has conquered many problems that many of us are having. Do you know that to be able to speak 2 languages in this country is one major breakthrough? In some cases, it's a bigger breakthrough than some degrees that some of you are waving that you have. Do you know that difference is designed to build strength? According to God, unity is not uniformity. Unity is a combination of differences for one purpose. Unity is not turning everybody into the same thing. That all of us have to become women so we can be united. Don't women fight. All of us have to become men. He made them Adam and Eve and gave them unity called marriage covenant. Because all unity in God's definition is bringing differences together. Look at that speaker and the stand. That's unity. Look at that speaker and the mic. That's unity. The speaker and the amp and the mic. Triangular unity, and they are able to produce this communication that we see. Disconnect all of them. This cannot do what is going on now. The speaker can't do it. The amp can't do it. The speaker contributes a different component. The mic contributes a different component. The amplifier contributes a different component. The wire contributes a different component. This is what is produced, one thing that you all see. That's what Trinity means. It's not one God with 3 heads. It's 3 people as united in one purpose. And if you study the ministry of God, the Father, the Son, it's different. That the Holy Spirit cannot be a savior. He can't even die. He can't shed blood. He doesn't have any. But yet, when it comes to power, when it comes to a lot of other things, he's the one. He's the one that raised Jesus from the dead. When Jesus was taking that risky job, he was counting on the Holy Spirit not to disappoint him. If the Holy Spirit failed, the Son of God would perish there. They had different components they bring to form the strongest force in the whole universe called the Godhead, Trinity. That's what God intends in marriage, in church, in nations. whenever God builds a real nation, he combines tribes. Just like the modern nation had 12 tribes. That's any nation. America is a good example. Strongest nation on earth. It's a combination of immigrants from different parts of the world. Unity is not uniformity. It must be our tribe, our village people, our Orapo people. The person that betrayed Jesus was for his tribe. It was from Judah. Judas is his name. Judas simply means Judah. It's New Testament word pronunciation. Like I say, Elias is Elijah. Judas is simply that name. Judah. He's bearing the name of his ancestors. He was the one that betrayed Judas. The ones that were loyal were from Galilee. Nigeria is stronger if we can turn our differences into our strength. You see, our South-South brothers, they have special contribution in the future of this. You see, the East. East has special contribution. You see, the North. North has special contribution. For example, do you know that if not for Northern Nigeria, there will be no Nigeria? And just like God didn't make you, you didn't fall from heaven. He used human being, a man and a woman, to bring you. You know how God makes nations? He uses a nation to nurture a nation and to release a nation. Just like Britain nurtured and released US, Britain nurtured and released Nigeria. Britain is the parent of Nigeria. Every nation is placed under tutors and governors for a season. That's what you call colonization. Stop seeing colonization as an enmity. It is mentorship. It's an apprenticeship. The biggest problem of Africa is conflicts. 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 We have leadership. 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 We have corruption. 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 One of the biggest, whatever, conflicts, conflicts, unresolved anger, unresolved resentment, unresolved strife, unresolved issue. Nigeria, if we don't learn to become peacemakers, which is what God has raised you and I to be, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Every Christian is supposed to be a professor in conflict resolution. Every Christian should be the one that anywhere you enter somebody's marriage, you just calm all the nerves down. Bring the heart of the fathers back to the children, heart of the children back to the fathers. Unless God come and smite the place with a curse. Because anywhere there is strife, there is a curse. If you want to know what still brings the curse of the law in the New Testament, it's called strife. It suspends grace and exposes you to all kinds of danger. Every Christian, you don't take somebody's pulpit and leave the church and leave more problem. You, by the Spirit of God, pick what the stress are and destroy it with the word. And turn the people back to their leadership and turn the leadership back to the people. Now, here is where we deviate. Okay, the man now sees this thing as a danger. I'm going to lose something. I'm going to cut off my communication. From now on, it's feeling no facts. No facts. So it hasn't. No facts. It influences the relationship. He just works on whatever he perceives. And the next thing is that he starts collecting information to make a case. He goes into the research phase. At this point, this person is a dangerous person. You know why? Whether it's your husband or your wife or your mother or your father, if you start collecting information to justify anything, perceive idea, you will have plenty of it. Once you take a position in your heart, you will have that circumstances, Satan, even human beings, will just be supplying you all the things you need to build your case. The people that killed Jesus actually thought that they were doing the right stuff. You will just keep getting all the evidence. Anything that comes will just be distorted to fit. Our man is a dangerous person. Because the next thing he does is that he starts recruiting other people. Now here, this is where you go to red zone in conflict. You move from green zone. Within the first three steps, you're still at the green zone. It can still be, just call a meeting and discuss. The thing dies a natural death. But he moves to the next zone when this guy now that has so convinced himself that this man, he now starts talking to other people. How other people say, yes, oh, ah, hey, yeah. Just perception, and the guy goes, this guy happens with the angel of God, one third of the angel in heaven. Somebody got offended at something God did. Your Excellency or Your Majesty, I don't know what, how do you address God? Please, sir, there is something here that, you know, maybe this is an injustice. What is this thing that you are? Do you know what offended Lucifer? How many of you want to know? How many of you want to know? Do you know how we got a devil? There was no devil anywhere. God didn't create one. Offense created demons, and offense can turn you into a demon. Offense created Judas. Do you know what offended Judas? A woman broke an alabaster box of oil, poured on the feet of Jesus. Judas saw that as a waste. He complained that this should be sold and given to the poor. Jesus said, it's not a waste. Leave her alone. She has done a good deed. She is preparing me for my burial. And he said, wherever the gospel is preached, that thing should be told in memory of her. That correction, Jesus corrected Judas. You are wrong. That was it, offense. The Bible says Satan entered him, because offense opens door for demonic invasion. And the next time Jesus said, I've chosen you 12, one of you is a demon. A demon was created among the 12. A demon was created in heaven among the angels. What creates it? Offense. Once you see a man as an offense, you've seen a dangerous man, you see Satan in two legs. That person you are looking at is Satan. That's why God sends people to hell because of that. What was the cause of Lucifer's offense? How many of you want to know? It's important that you know it. Lucifer was very close to the throne. He came across an information a lot of the angels didn't have. And book of Ephesians chapter 1 explains it. Many other portions of the Bible explains it. Ephesians chapter 1. Lucifer came across an information. What was the information? You see these ADCs that stand in the name that are protecting, because this guy was covering the throne. He was one of the cherubs. He wasn't an archangel. Lucifer is not an archangel. He's a cherub. It's an anointed cherub. You know those six-winged creatures that are four? That's how Lucifer is. The closest group of angels to the throne of God. He's not an archangel. He's higher than Michael. It's after them you meet where the archangels are. Do you know till tomorrow when Michael meets him in battle, he respects him, but he arrests him. You know, like when you send a major to arrest a general. When they get there, sometimes they salute you. So that the general, sir, you're under arrest. And then later they can deal with you. If you see where they are slapping generals, where they are brutalizing them. That's what Michael does. But God never allows Michael to insult Lucifer, not till tomorrow. He said God does not allow him to bring railing accusation against. And that's why nobody should ever speak against authority, even if the authority is wrong. That's why David said, even if Saul has lost his anointing, I won't do that, and because he won't be innocent. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Now, what was Lucifer's problem? Lucifer, being all those angels that cover the throne, they hear discussions about the Trinity. In eternity past, when the angels were the ones created, there was no man. There was no Adam. God started a discussion that they are going to have children. That they are making the other side of the planet so that they will turn it into a nursery. They will make it a reflection of heaven and raise the children there. So they will have a family. And these children will not be like these angels, servants, that these ones will be heirs. That they are the ones that will inherit this, all the resources of this family. And in that plan, God decided that we are going to be his heir, his children. God, in his eternal past, in the plan, programmed us, proposed us for adoption of sons by Jesus Christ. When Lucifer heard that, his problem was, we are the ones here. Do you know how to walk? So we are here. Baboon they walk, monkey they chop. That is the problem in heaven. That's the only problem. Now, but the damage here is, Your Majesty, sir, I heard that discussion. Now, please explain to me where is our place in this eternal plan. He will have seen that rulership of all the angelic order is his. That Adam is only ruling planet Earth, but rulership of galaxies are still left for angels, because angels too are sons of God. He will have seen all the galaxies, all the whatever. And when he will have seen it, he will say, sir, sorry for that misconception. But guess what he did? They go and start lobbying others. So he goes to all the angels that don't know what goes on as central executive meeting. He said, you won't stay here, they have finished you. You need to hear what my ear heard yesterday in the board meeting. These guys have no plan for us. They have sold away all the future, the whole universe, to only their children. He said, but they don't have children. He said, they have. There's one there. Look at that one. They called whatever. There's another one they're planning to have. Well, this is you who know that I'm not lying. They said, Oga, what do you think we should do? He said, let's go and take over. Let's invade and take this thing by force. Because we can't sit down here and watch. Some people come up tomorrow and we'll be calling them, sir. Small boys that we know when they were growing up. Lucifer's anger was Jesus and Adam and Adam's descendants. You are the problem, oh. God has no problem with Lucifer. They had no problem. You. This inheritance they are trying to give you is the wahala. Is the will that is the issue that is being contested. That's the issue. Servant want to take over will for sons. And some of the angels said, up to one third follow this guy. And we have rebel soldiers and rebel army in heaven. Rebellion occurs in a beautiful, orderly environment. And this guy, presumptuously, because inside him he has pride, very proud creature. And he believed that he is going to succeed, sit, create his own order, and be ruling these angels, and then create his own and be controlling his own. I've actually asked God, tell me the truth. Did Lucifer actually believe he could topple you? He said, if you read that place, he didn't say, I will remove the Most High. I will topple the Most High. That's not his ambition. His ambition is, I will be like. I will also set my own throne on the size of the Lord. He just wanted to be like God, be receiving worship, be the one controlling. He wanted to be the boss. That's why that's the temptation he also gave Adam. Want to be like God. Eat the tree. These people have also had a discussion. You are not in heaven, you are here. You don't know what is going on there. I have listened. They know that the day you eat it, you will be like God. They don't want you to enjoy this thing. He's talking to Saul now, the heir that will have everything, and to confuse him again. Some of you have maids like that, or drivers like that. They will call your boy, be putting crazy things into the small boy's head. The most dangerous person to have in a family, to have in a ministry, to have in an organization, is any man who cannot see his future with you. I want to say it a second time. The most dangerous man to have in any system you build is any man who cannot see his future with you. Once they can't see that, they become tools for anything, acts of destruction. They lobby others, and the people they tell normally because of their position. It's like when a wife is talking about her husband, people are likely to believe, oh, I caught him with a woman. I caught him. People are likely, because of that strategic position, he confused one third of the angels. When we get to heaven, we might need to ask people like Michael, what kept you? What kept you, Gabriel? I looked among those cherub. I saw the other four. They were saying a different thing. Not only that, I think I know this man. I know. If you don't know the character of God, you can be deceived. You don't know him. If you don't know that he is just, he is faithful, he is trustworthy, he is honest, you can be deceived. If the same way, it's like here. If you don't know who I am, if you don't know my character, if you don't know the values that drive me, sorry for you too. You have a big problem in your hand. Especially those who are coming into ministry. Because in ministry, you don't go about explaining things. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. You go about obeying the instruction that is coming from whatever. And the people make their explanations. It's true. The people who want all the explanation can't walk by faith. Neither can they walk in love. You will live in offense from the beginning of your life till you die. You will charge God with unrighteousness, charge God with foolishness. A celestial being did it. What will have stopped all the things? Talk. When I finished talking, what he was saying didn't make sense. Okay. Cherubim number two, seraphim number three, come and join us in this discussion. Judge this, you know, so that we'll be. Maybe I'm wrong. Just wait. Tell us the. You have seen your nakedness. You have been able to correct your ways. He goes, he talks to others. All conflicts. Once he enters this point, he has entered red zone. Because now he has gone beyond the normal people involved. It has started spreading. Now you're going to have something, a fire that might end up burning a whole society or a whole ministry. Now look at step six. Then what happens? They prepare for attack. They develop battle strategies. They start deciding how we are going to hit. And then finally, the number seven is that the first attack they do is not taking of life. That's how you know you have gone far. The first attack is undermining the other person. They criticize their action. They criticize their messages. They criticize everything they do. They go before people and there be any ritual move they make, they just attack it. If you hear people say they send assassins, they send this. It's two steps to murder. It has degenerated the process down. It has escalated to that point. You now undermine them. Anything they do in their ministry, there is nothing you can see good in it. If he's your husband, there is nothing he does now. Just be telling. That's the first attack. The second attack now is you start destroying properties, things that belong to the person. You destroy the other person's reputation, hurt them as much as possible, and then you can even kill them. That's the final stage. The middle stages. First stage is you undermine them. Second stage after that is, which is the eighth here, you destroy things. You find things that could help them, opportunity to get promotion. You work in the company and make sure they come down. You destroy anything that will have value that, to them. The final thing is that the attack now shifts to the person. You can kill the person. If I ask you how Cain killed Abel, this is how he got there. If I ask you how Jesus now said Lucifer was a murderer from the beginning, that's how he got to murder. You can now understand what originates murder, genocides, war. At this stage, 9, a full-blown war goes out. At this moment, you are dealing with bushfire. Houses are going to go down. Lives are going to go. And let me also use this opportunity to give you a sign. Whenever you watch a nation, a community, this is my advice for you. Jesus taught me this. Whenever you watch a community, a nation, go through conflict escalation, and you watch it, the moment they get to destruction of things, destruction of properties, the conflict has gone out of hand. Sometimes people who want to resolve conflicts intervene at these different stages, try to hold meeting, try to see if we can. Jesus said once attack has reached to property, before it gets to life, relocate. Here is a warning. Two things will happen to Nigeria. The transformational message, every nation, every individual has that option, life or death. After Nigeria clocks Jubilee, which is 50, Nigeria will face a test to solve this problem of national integration once and for all, or have this nation disintegrate. It's a fact. It's hanging over us. People like us have taken up the mandate of national transformation because we believe in God's plan for Nigeria. And I'm convinced that as we walk towards it, that we can achieve this. Once a person can't see his future in a system, he becomes dangerous. He doesn't commit to building it. What he does is that he fights as much as possible to get what he can get out, waiting, looking, believing that the day it takes off, let him not leave empty-handed. When you are in a ministry, you don't believe in the future of that ministry. You have not seen yourself in it. This is how you operate. You become a dangerous demon in the system. You just be working for yourself, be planning. The day it happens, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? You might want to see change. That is not how you do it. There are constructive ways of doing it. I told you, I'm the happiest man. Tell your friend, become a peacemaker. Become a guru of conflict resolution. Starting with yourself and your spouse and your family. Become a peacemaker. Become a bridge builder. If you don't do it, you will not be called sons of God. Tell him, scripture said, follow peace with all men and with holiness, without which no eye shall see God. Tell him, as a child of God, you are called to build bridges. You are called to be a peacemaker. Amen. 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 Get more of us to carry this assault. Nigeria is healed. We don't need the Muslims to change. We just need a percentage of the church to understand our role. The role of the church in national transformation. Nigeria changes. Nigeria changes. The gospel you are given to carry is a gospel of reconciliation. It reconciles men to God. And it reconciles men to men. They shouldn't be looking for your conflict experts when we are here. Because before they call those people, we have already quenched the fire. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? There are 9 steps on how to de-escalate conflict. We'll deal with that in another day, another year. Who knows? Conferences have not ended. You see, any of this stage, there is something you can touch at each stage. The thing fire goes. When you get to the dangerous stages, the last 3 stages, there are still things you can touch. You press the button, the thing will jump down, move back to the stage behind. You touch this one, it jumps, you move to this one, you touch it, it gets out of danger zone. Don't talk to others, talk to the person. If you learn that, you learn a secret of walking in love. In Lagos, I told them, love walk is 5 levels. The calling Jesus gave us in walking in love. First, he said, you love the Lord your God. That's devotion. The way a husband and wife should have it for each other. That's how you are to have it, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Second, he said, you love your neighbor. Love for neighbor is what is called social responsibility. It includes charity. But take responsibility for others around you. But that is not as strong as the third. The third is love the brethren. And he tells us how. As I have loved you. Love for brethren is what is called agape. Love for neighbor is not agape. It's not sacrificial. But it's love enough to take responsibility. Say you love your neighbor as what? Yourself. Those things you wish for yourself. Summary of it is, do unto others as you want them to what? Do unto. That's love for neighbor. But when it comes to love for brethren, he said, love the brethren as what? I have loved you. He explained what it is. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. It's only the brethren we can do that for. Why? Because love for brethren is covenant relationship. That's what agape is. There is blood tying you to them. That's why I can lay down my life for you. When you finish with that, then you deal with love for enemies. There is conflict resolution with enemies, enemy nations, enemy whatever, enemy. How you can also resolve conflict in the world. Love for enemy is what the Bible calls passive resistance of evil. That is, don't revenge, treat revenge evil with evil. Use good to overcome evil. That's where they got, if they slap you on this side, that's where Gandhi, he read a book, a Christian book, The Kingdom of God is Within You, and got this principle. It's a teaching on Matthew chapter 5. That you don't resist evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. That's how we remove evil from the world. That if we adopt it, we eliminate war, we eliminate most of the conflicts on earth. What Jesus was teaching in love for enemy is that when somebody hurts you, you hurt back. You create another level of war. Evil just keeps escalating. Let me teach you why you guys were always having problems. The fourth level of love is love for enemies. Hear what that principle teaches. That you don't conquer an enemy with violence. You conquer him with goodwill. With goodness. See the way he used to walk. Now, let me tell you what you guys used to do. These guys will organize and hit one of your people or two. They will go to their camp and rejoice and think they won. But they kill two capos or two whatever. These ones will go and regroup. If they think they are not strong enough, they will take some time, recruit some new hands, get some freshers, get some extra fund, acquire some extra weapon. These ones this time are getting away. They think they've gotten away. They've not. Because each time you use violence, you leave a seed that is going to create a harvest of future violence. That's what Jesus was teaching in Matthew 5. He's not telling you to be offering your cheek for people to be slapping up and down. No. No. He's saying that replying violence with violence escalates violence. So next time they have finished preparing, now some moons are gone. You might even be a whole semester. You think you're all right. Because after you do it, you are initially afraid. You escape from town. Those who are involved will escape. Or probably they come from another campus, could come and execute it in this campus. They escape. Now, exam time. All the ones that escape are back. Physics 207 exam, 9 a.m. He was sneaking into school, sit down in class. But he sowed a seed of violence the last time. Jesus said, the one that goes by the sword, how will he go? By the sword. Those of you who you saw that escape, somebody, the blood, some intercessor saved you. Maybe your mom is a prayer warrior. Maybe your sister got born again and is praying over you. Maybe whatever saved you. There are even those who graduate, who think they are out, who still fall victim of it. You sit to write an exam. Next thing you see, four boys walks in. Boy! Everywhere scatters. They walk to that point, pick him. They walk to the other side. They know who they are looking for. Then they walk to the remaining one. He has jumped through the window. They fire at him. He sustains a bullet wound, but he escapes. Now you have revenge. This is revenge. But revenge is a seed. The harvest is more violence. So you also go. Rejoice. Some of you will be careful for 6 months or whatever. Some even relocate, join another school. If they are the ones that the bold ones will still stay around, hang around, go underground. Police finishes the investigation. All the school comes down. If they close school, they've reopened school. You return back. You find accommodation off campus or wherever. You return. Then when you are walking, your shadow, you'll be afraid of your shadow. The guys this side, they know, they leave you. Some of their people will even say, greet you, pass, pretend that there's no problem. They allow you enough time to relax. Next time he's in his girlfriend's room, baby, oh, I missed you. All those times when it's just, you know, some minor problems on campus. And he can even cook one life for home. He's my dad. I had some issues. I just, you know, there was no money, so I just stayed back at home. Women, the kind of lies you have been told and what you believe. You know, baby, you know how? Let me take you out. And women, and where they drink, always gets them in trouble. Especially the women factor. Because once they are around women, a level of that, their military sense and security consciousness relaxes. When you get to the West where they have sororities, they use the women. You will go, befriend you, whatever. She is one that will do the job. The guy start undressing his jeans. It's action time. The lady pulls out something. Angela, how can you do this? He gives her the guy a second one. Angela is daughter of Jezebel. But she's very pretty and very attractive outside. Angela isn't working for Capone. Capone has checked. We don't have enough military strength to face these guys. They are more stronger than us in this campus. We know it. But we'll show them another style. Because until they have revenge, their conscience does not accept that justice has been done. So now, after they've executed, carried out whatever they need to carry out, these guys regroup. Angela has to pay. Capone has to pay. That one has to die. And this is how the chain continues. Somebody kills your father, kills somebody in your family. They tell the next generation, he has succeeded. He thinks he has gotten away. The children are growing with that animosity. They are looking forward to when they have enough. They don't have anything to fight this uncle. He took our father's property, took our land because our dad died. They don't have, but you think you have gotten away, they are growing with it. Some will go and study law. Some will go. The one boy is hoping that one day he's going to use gun. He goes to campus. He joins campus court or joins armed robbery group. Some won't even join that way. They are looking forward for enough power because they don't have now. If they make noise, they will eliminate them too. Finally, they get to that point position. He is governor, or he has joined court, or he is in, has joined Oboni, or he has joined armed robbery, or he has joined that. What is that thing? First revenge. You wicked fool. You killed my father. Look at my face. It was Max where he came in. He said, see me before you die. See. The man will beg. After he does that, he thinks he has escaped. The man too has children. If you think you can eliminate him with children, he has other people. Have you noticed that anytime somebody you know or careful, whether he's your brother or not, something bad is done to him. A sense of justice rises in you to do something about it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you like a girl, for example, she doesn't have to be your sister. When it's your sister or brother, it's more than dangerous. When it's your father or mother, it's more deadly. You like a girl, you hear the girl was raped. It's not your business, so the thing rises in you. You will see boys killing each other on campus. It's over a girl, oh. That's how the Old Testament was. God told Moses, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. So today the Philistines invade. Tomorrow the children of Israel go. They deal with the Philistines, deal with the Philistines, they deal with the Assyrians. And each group they finish dealing with. Because God is protecting them now, they are free. But the problem with Israel is they won't stay in that protection for too long. One day they will go and touch idol. They go and touch one thing. The moment they do, protection leaves. It's the turn of the Philistines now. The Philistines will come. They will massacre them, massacre them, massacre them. One day they cry to God, repent. They make peace with God. God's protection comes back. It's time for revenge. Because God is with them. They go massacre these enemies, massacre them, massacre them. But next generation will be growing. They have heard what Israel did to their fathers, did to them. You know why you are an orphan? Is these people, the children of Israel, that generation grows, join the army, become ready. They've been monitoring Israel. They don't, you know, they see weakness in their camp. They have their gods still have abandoned them again because they have started putting hands in idolatry and all that. They group up, they come. It never ends. So Jesus finally said, there is only one way to break the chain of evil. Overcome evil with good. That's love for enemy. That's what we need to take across the continent of Africa. If you see the level of bitterness in this continent, if you good, you think it's a Nigerian thing? If you go across tribal issues, religious issues, even among one religious sect like Christianity, family problems. The last type of love the scripture talks about is love for your nation. It's called patriotism. You must have it if you're a Christian. I know your citizenship is in heaven. Your earthly citizenship is on earth. I know you are flying away. But right now it's Nigeria that is your abode. Who lives in heaven is God. You live here. I know about your seat in heaven. Jesus loved Israel. You should love Nigeria. You should love the Jewish nation, but you should love Nigeria first. Seek the good of this nation. Help us attain national jubilee. Help us attain our true destiny. Help us. And God will bless you for it. God bless you.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.